Hello and welcome to Talk From Superheroes. Hey everybody, I'm Andrew Iveme.
And I'm Diana McCollum.
And you're listening to Talk From Superheroes, where every week we discuss a piece of heroic television or film. And this week on the podcast, we are going to be talking about the entirety of season one of Moon Knight.
It's TV time, it's Disney Plus time, it's Moon Knight time, it's Oscar Isaac time, guys.
It's always Oscar Isaac time if you open your hearts to Oscar Isaac.
And if you take in a lot of Oscar Isaac media, as we do lately, because he's joined multiple franchises in recent years, thank you, Oscar Isaac.
Thank you, Oscar Isaac.
Love having you around.
Always welcome in our home.
Always, and physically and in media.
Yes.
Oscar Isaac, if you would like to visit the studio.
Yeah, I was implying physically.
You were implying
physically. I was starting that. I mean, in media as
I'm living more realistically.
Okay. I shoot for the stars, baby. Land on a cloud. Let's do it.
He's a star.
Shoot for the stars, land on a cloud, miss the cloud. Oscar Isaac catches you. We're all living the dream.
Damn.
Yeah, there's a lot going on. A
lot going on in your dreams.
Yeah. I'm a complicated man, and Oscar Isaac is there. So we're talking about the entirety of season one of Moon Knight. On to today's podcast, we are going to be spoiling the whole thing. But before we do that, since it is a new show, I know it ended last week, so relatively new show. We're a little bit behind in terms of topicality as compared to our usual schedule. But last weekend, Doctor Strange also came out. Marvel just kind of hammered some stuff at us. So
Big week.
We weren't able to cover it all in the same week. So we had to cover Doctor Strange Mom last week. And now we're covering season one of Moon Knight. Since it is still relatively new, we are going to give you a spoiler-free review. So in case you're not sure if it's worth your time, or you're on the fence about watching it, or maybe you got a few episodes left to check out and you want a taste of this before you finish off the show, we're going to give you a quick spoiler-free review. And then once you hear the theme song, after that, we're going to get into the spoiler-filled section. So to start with a simple spoiler-free review, Diana, did you like it?
I did like it. I quite liked it. It did not get to a love. There was episodes that were loves, and there were episodes that were, like, mediocre, and then there's, like, two, like, ugh episodes. Fortunately, the finale is one of the episodes. So it, like, it doesn't end very strong, but there's some very strong episodes in here. Oscar Isaac is fantastic, but he's also the majority of the show, so it's great that he's so fantastic as Mark Spector and as Moon Knight. He's doing incredible things, comedy-wise, dramatic-wise, just looking good-wise. He's covering all the bases that you need. There can be more of a supporting cast. There's not very many people in this show is a weird thing about it, but
it's really him and two other actors. So
yeah.
It's not a wide-ranging net of a cast.
Yeah,
not an
like,
ensemble.
It feels like the first thing that was written post-COVID. Like, what if we only had three people?
Right.
What if it was very, very small? But the action's quite good. Yeah, there's a few episodes that don't quite work, but then the episodes that do work rock. So yeah, and it's really fun off the top. It's more of a horror thing, and then it gets more action adventure-y. Yeah, it's a good time. I had a good time. It's a lot of Oscar Isaac. Who could complain? Andrew, did you like Moon Knight?
Yeah, I'm a medium like on it. I think that its highs are really high.
Its highs are highs.
There are a few moments where it hits and it hits hard and it pops. I think one episode in particular that we'll talk about that is the highlight of the series. And then like good moments here and there. Its lows are never all that low. Its highs are highs, and its lows are just kind of meandering. It feels a little bit filler at times. It is weird that it's only six episodes, and it does still feel like there's quite a bit of filler. I don't know what the solution to this is, because I think in the years since we've started this podcast, it would start with like talking about a Netflix show and be like, we don't need 18. Let's maybe just do it to 12, to 10. And now we're down to 6, and it's like, it still feels like you wrote a movie and there's some filler in here, maybe.
Oh, I'm a huge disagree. I thought episode 6 wrapped everything up too quickly. I could have done one more.
Oh, you could have done with a little bit of a stretch.
It was
interesting.
Fast.
Okay.
To me.
Okay. I could agree. Maybe the conclusion happens a bit fast, but I think there's a bit of meandering in the middle.
There's some meandering in the middle, and it's. I think the lows will feel lower when the highs are higher.
Yes,
you fall farther.
Yes, you do. You do fall farther. But the lows, like I said, like they're not that low. It's just kind of a little like, oh, we're doing what? and like, oh, that's not really motivated. Why are we going to this location? So just a kind of like a little like huh and ha in the low points of it. But I agree with you. Oscar Isaac's performance is phenomenal. I think it's visually very interesting. They do a lot of interesting camera work, and it's a bit of a one-trick pony, but they find kind of new, refreshing ways to do it. Like, even just, I don't think it spoils anything, but even just from like seeing the trailer, there's a lot of camera work involving mirrors. Mm. And it's like, there's only so much. You would think, you're like, okay, I've seen movies and other shows where it's like, oh, we're not seeing the camera in the mirror. And that's a difficult thing to film, but there's only so many times I can find that impressive. But even by episode 6, I was like, damn, man, y'all really found a way to make that make reflections impressive. Good on you.
So I agree. Be like, oh, look, there's a mirror there. Yeah, a sneaky little mirror.
Yeah, yeah. It's a magic show where 6 hours of it is just the magician going, is this your card? It's the same trick in terms of a directorial and cinematography style, but even by the 6th hour, I was like, damn, that is my car. Like, the simple trick of mirror stuff with your camera work was visually intriguing beginning to end. So I like it visually. I like Oscar Isaac's performance, and the highs are really high.
Yeah, I think it's like it's kind of like a watch, basically.
I think it's a watch.
If you've got Disney Plus, definitely throw it on. Yeah. Don't buy Disney Plus for it, but
you don't need to run out there. And can it be spoiled?
Kind of not too much. Like, the trailer gives away, like, the big twisty twists for the most part. You can right. kind of guess what's going on.
The premise is the spoiler, essentially.
Yeah, if you know anything about Moon Knight, then it's been spoiled. Mm-hmm. Like, as a character from the comics or even, like, from probably the write-ups even tell you, I'd imagine.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah. So I think that
it's the lowest spoiler of anything probably we've ever done.
Yeah, I think there's one character reveal where it's just kind of like the good episode we're talking about, where it kind of reveals some motivations behind things, and that's a little bit like, oh wow. Like, that's, but it's not like a twist. It is just an important character beat.
Yeah.
Yeah. So I think it's very light on spoilers for this one.
It's as light as it gets. It would probably like float in water.
Is that, yeah, okay. Mm-hmm. Okay, yeah. I don't know enough about buoyancy to disagree.
Yeah, in like any water. Not even like a Dead Sea kind of water, mm-hmm. just like any old water at all.
That's how light it is.
Not even particularly buoyant.
Yeah, don't even worry about it.
It's not going to sink.
Don't even worry about it,
you guys. Just stop worrying about it, you guys. Stop freaking out about whether the spoilers will sink in the water.
All right, so since we're all very calm about that, since we've all been very cool and collected off of the top, and nothing at all has gone wrong.
We're definitely chill as hell.
Everything's going great. But that is our spoiler-free review. Before we get into the spoiler-filled section, we want to thank one of our wonderful sponsors of today's episode. We want to thank our friends over at MeUndies.
Oh my goodness, I want to thank MeUndies because I love getting up in the morning for two reasons. One, Scar boops me in the face, and he's like, wake up, it's time for my walk.
Scar is our dog,
Scar
FYI.
Scar is our dog, FYI. And he boops me in the face, and then I'm like, okay. And then the second thing I get to do is change my underwear and put on some MeUndies, and I'm like, stop, 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 stop.
Start your day fresh with some fresh stuff. I say MeUndies, and then I do a little hip gyration because I'm like feeling it, you know?
You're feeling it, and I get the impression you're like, you want me to feel it. You're like, touch them. Touch them. I mean, I see you do it, and I'm like,
they're soft, they're comfortable, they're very playful as well, which is very nice. Like,
little,
I feel like
a bit of joy when you put them on.
It's been a while since I've had a playful underwear. You know what it is? It's the type of underwear that, like, in a like a college comedy that someone gets pantsed and they're wearing underwear with a fun pattern on it. It's that. It's bringing fun back to seeing someone's underwear. And I feel like it's been a minute where I've fallen into like bland adult underwear. And like, you can still get your staples. Like, I get you need to have some, you need to have some basics. But like, I'm enjoying bringing fun back personally. I'm like, these have tacos on it. I'm a taco man. Check me out.
MeUndies. Tacos. It's two things you love. Yes. Underwear and tacos.
It's a really good time all around. And once you try their undies, socks, bralettes, or loungewear, you'll never go back. They have a range of limited edition prints and colors from size extra small to 4XL. You can also sign up to join and join their free-to-join MeUndies membership, where you get a monthly subscription that sends you new styles right to your door, and you enjoy up to 30% off on virtually everything that they make, free shipping and returns. It's early launches, member-only sales. Lots of great stuff.
Lots of
and
great
step up
stuff.
Your underwear game, y'all.
Step it up. Like, you can get the fun designs. There's also like Batman and Star Wars prints, or there's coconuts, and there's so many fun things, or just a basic print, and it'll just be the softest underwear on your body.
And just take care of it. You deserve this. It's a way to treat yourself. All the, you know the bad ones that you have in your drawer right now? Phase those out. Start phasing those out immediately. You deserve better. I am a guy who very much likes like reuse, wear something into the earth. I'll use like the nub of a pencil. I don't want to waste. But underwear is one scenario where it's like, we deserve nice things.
You deserve nice, soft underwear. It's going to make your whole day bad if your underwear is bad.
Yeah. So step it up, y'all. Check out MeUndies. They have a great offer for our listeners. For any first-time purchasers, you get 15% off. So to get 15% off your first order and a 100% satisfaction guarantee, go to MeUndies.com/TFS. That's MeUndies.com/TFS. And thank you for your support and your comfortable everything, MeUndies.
Thank you, MeUndies.
And now let's get into the episode. Let's get into the spoiler-filled section talking about Moon Knight. So we have seen Moon Knight, and now we're in the spoiler section. There's a bunch of them, y'all.
There's at least three?
There's a bunch.
You find out later.
A few. There is definitely a few. I think three is it. Or at least traditionally in the comics, I believe three is it.
Recently, there is a fourth that's introduced.
Oh, really? In the comics. I didn't know that. Okay.
He's kind of the newest addition to Moon Knight's arsenal. But in this show, they've kind of combined them because the fourth one is called Mr. Knight, and his suit is like what Steven turns into when he goes into Moon Knight.
Oh, okay.
So
gotcha.
The suit that Steven wears is Mr. Knight, who is the fourth personality, but they seem to have just combined them here.
Just merged them a little
they
bit.
They were just like, that's just what Steven wears.
Interesting. Mm-hmm. Okay.
So right on, since I just mentioned it, I will say the suits both look incredible.
The suits
I
do look
I love
good.
Both of these suits. They rock.
Mm-hmm.
They're both so good in separate ways. Like two equally good suits in super cool different ways.
And especially there's so much they've done a good job with that suit design and that costume design is that there are a couple of moments when it's Oscar Isaac, and they're doing the digital transition into the suit as like the it's wrapping around him, kind of enveloping him, and they've fixed the floating head problem mm-hmm. of like what you know Marvel has had in its movies for a while of Spider-Man with the suit and Tony Stark with the suit, where it's just a floating head. They've combined the effects really smoothly and then cut away and cut back to just a practical stunt actor in a suit, and it looks fantastic.
Yeah, I feel like he is wearing the bodysuit always, and they're just CGing the mask on sometimes, which is very different than Spider-Man and Tony, who are always wearing just the gray CG suits over everything.
Or at least, in the recent movies, for sure. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So, I feel like he's always in costume, and like, oh my God, they just look so... Stevens with like the stitch down the center of the face is like... haunting. It almost doesn't fit because he's such a nice man. I'm like, why would you have such a haunting mask? Like that stitching just really freaks me out. But also you're like, you look great.
Yeah, I think it's supposed to represent the split in his identities. It is the stitching together of different identities is what it's meant to symbolize.
Ooh.
But it just looks crisp to death as well.
It looks dark. The souls of the scars on my soul are on my face.
And it's something about it too. Like it looks rich, especially at least the Steven, the Moon Knight, the Mr. Knight suit, and not necessarily the more like mummified Mark Spector suit. It looks crisp. It looks fashionable, but it feels like ancient fabrics. Like it does feel like a thick, almost like canvas cloth, and it does actually add like a very old feel to everything, even for the modernized Steven look.
Oh, I don't find the modernized one feels like it's made of. I didn't really check out the textures of the cloth.
Okay,
but yeah, I will say like Mark Spector's does feel old. Like,
yeah,
I don't know. Maybe it's because they like made it a little darker because Steven's is pure white. And Mark's is like a little bit gray from use. Like,
it's more lived
like,
in, yeah.
Like that's the same outfit he's been wearing for like 2,000 years or something. Khonshu has not gotten it dry cleaned or like sent right. to the cleaners in any way. So it's like smells like sweat. It's no good. And Mark's and Steven's like, I'm not wearing that.
No, I got a fresh one.
I got this fresh one.
I got like, a fresh one going on.
Like, do you think Mark's like, I would actually like a new outfit as well.
I think Mark does not give one shit. Mark could not be bothered to give a single fuck about
right.
what the suit looks
that's
like.
That's very low on his priority list.
The bottom barrel on the priority list.
That's absolutely true.
But yeah,
Mark.
And the crescent moon, like throwing stars kind of coming out of like the chest piece that is displaying them as well is really nice. Just really great costume design all around. And even like to take it one step further beyond that, I think the CGI look and design of Khonshu as well, especially, I mean, it's great throughout the entire show, but especially in these first two episodes as the character of Steven is kind of reconciling his DID, and when it's playing for horror, Khonshu is so scary, so intimidating. The introduction of him is really powerful, and it stays a good look throughout, but it works, I think, extra well in those first few episodes of horror and confusion.
Yeah, and when it's a horror movie and it's just this specter of a walking bird skeleton and he's like really far back, not getting a lot of close-ups, you're like, what the hell is that? That is terrifying. And it really does have a nice shift as the story goes because he's really scary and he really works. But then as like Steven gets more integrated and is more relaxed and we have full conversations with Khonshu, it gets a little silly in a good way, in a way where you're just like, oh, you just sit and talk to this bird guy, right? Okay. It's kind of funny. I think my favorite thing is like this there's like very small sinews in his neck left. Like all of his skin's gone. Most of his muscles are gone, but there's just a little bit of neck sinew still floating down.
I actually couldn't tell if that was my initial reaction. But I couldn't tell towards the end if that was like sinew coming down or if there were a few little tufts of hair on the back that were still actually flopping down. It might be hair / fur or whatever.
Well, a bird would have feathers.
I guess it would be feathers. But yeah, maybe it is just like some kind of like muscular system or something kind of feathering down.
I think I like it. I think it gave a real like, it kind of exactly what we just said a second ago. It removed the floating head problem. He is not a floating head if there's a semblance of muscle.
A whisper
behind.
Of what once was.
Yeah, like we built an entire body and then we just erased the neck. So like, but then we left a couple little threads so you can see how it's all connected and makes sense. But also, I will give credit. I saw this on Tumblr. They made a good point of when Amit comes back to life, she has skin and muscles and everything. So, and she's like, time has been cruel to you. I'm like, oh, have you aged? Like, has Khonshu, like decomposed over time and used to have skin?
Interesting.
And that's why you have some sinews of your neck left, and Amit, like, wakes up from her sleep of, like, 2,000
like,
years.
Very fresh.
Looking great.
Yeah. Still looking like an alligator. Death. And then we have, the hippo still, like, looks like a hippo, and granted, that is in a spiritual realm and everything like that.
Yeah,
but
never
he's the only, like, skeletal one, and, yeah, I'm not sure if that is his entire personality or if he's always been that or if you make a great point, if he has degraded.
Because he seems like the only one who didn't retire because all the other gods are like, we don't interfere anymore. Right. We don't show up anymore.
We sit on the porch in a rocking chair and sip our juice and you're out there working and we all disagree with that.
Yeah. So I feel like it's kind of like maybe just to show that he's like, he's been going out and putting the work in all these years.
Yeah. Interesting. Because I do feel like that progression of the character throughout the series where it starts as the horror that we mentioned of the like this horrifying bird skeleton is coming to kill you, Steven, into like, oh no, I think I know him, into full conversations, into when you get to know other gods, suddenly it becomes like, that bird's a fucking burnout. And I kind of like that, like, his reputation among the other gods is like, this fucking guy is the energy that everyone else has about him. And it's pretty fun. It goes from, like, the creepy skeleton of a bird into, like, you seem like you should be following around the Grateful Dead. Like, you're just kind of a burnout. And that's kind of fun.
Yeah, the other gods, when he calls that, like, council meeting, are just like, this guy sucks. We're actually going to listen to Ethan Hawke, a man we don't even know. We don't think you're cool. And I think the biggest difference is, like, when Layla gets an avatar, she's Tawarat's avatar, and Tawarat is just like, Layla, I love you. I think you're great. And I'm like, see, that's what it's like to be appreciated, to have a nice boss. Mm-hmm. She's going to give benefits and time off. And,
oh, yeah. That's going to be a great work-life balance.
Khonshu's just a slave driver, like non-union, I bet. He is like, you work you to the bone until you die.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, you don't want to work for Khonshu.
Well, I mean, like, that's the night gig. That's the side hustle. So, of course, he's not giving you the primary benefits of your main job. Steven still works at a fucking gift shop. Like, he's fucked.
Steven doesn't know he's Moon Knight.
Yeah, fair enough. There's still part of him that should be like, let's not get a job. Let's not get a menial job. So when we are night murderers, maybe we don't need it right now. But I also, F. Murray Abraham is fantastic as the voice of Khonshu as well.
Very, very good. Yeah, there's a few scenes that are so wonderful. I think episode one is the one where Steven keeps waking up mid-battle and he's like in an ice cream truck and and then he's like, oh, it's that great scene where like Ethan Hawke wants the scarab and like the body keeps pulling it away.
Yeah.
Very, very good. But yeah, F. Murray Abraham like being like, let Mark have the body. It's just,
Give him the body, Steven.
He's so frustrated that his avatar has two personalities.
Like, you chose this, dummy.
You did this.
This is the life you wanted, dum-dum.
Maybe you should just release Mark.
Maybe be cool. How about that?
Maybe be cool. Yeah, instead he's like, I'm going to get a third guy involved. Maybe just say no to Mark Spector.
Yeah, maybe two was too many, but like Khonshu makes some interesting decisions. But to kind of like circle back, I really love Oscar Isaac in this. I think he does a great job of this performance.
He does an awesome job. The switch between the characters is so good. And it's not even like, I don't even care if he does them fast or if he's doing them on separate screens. Just like, they're so clearly delineated.
Right.
And I'm also so amazed that a man is like handsome and charismatic and wonderful as Oscar Isaac does actually make Steven a legit seeming loser. Which seems impossible. Like, when Steven's getting ready for his date and he's just putting on this ill-fitting shirt and jacket, and he's like, I look like a twat. And I'm like, you actually kind of do, even though you are still Oscar Isaac. How is that humanly possible?
Yeah,
like, and not, like, too much. Not, like, a huge, like, Princess Diaries kind of shift of, like, hot to not hot.
But he does do a good, like, Clark Kent type of like schlub to cool guy kind of thing. Obviously, Mark with severe relationship problems and issues of his own. But from that confidence perspective, from a man with no confidence to a man with full confidence.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. You know how Mark got that date with the guide.
Mark gets dates.
Mark just walks in full confidence. He's like, I'm an assassin with superpowers. Yeah. I am.
Although we technically don't know if Mark got that date. That could have been Jake.
We're going to discuss this.
We'll discuss Jake later. Yeah, yeah. It could have been Mark.
We'll discuss Jake.
Mark has a wife. So I'm like, why are you asking women out on dates?
Well, because he separated himself from Layla to protect her and has no interest in getting back with her.
Right. But then you're still bringing other people. That's a whole fucking thing. But I like Oscar Isaac's performance. I do like how he has differentiated these personalities. I know he caught a lot of flack before the show came out for his accent. Like in the trailers, it was bad and people were making fun of it because it is a weird choice. And it is one that rarely exists normally. It's like a Cockney dialect, but with an RP like stage accent. So the dialect versus accent doesn't quite match up, and it's a strange choice a lot of people made fun of. And then throughout the show, we do find out that like this accent, it sounds fake because you know, it is fake.
It's a little boy who watched a British movie, just made it up.
Yes.
He wasn't raised in London or England or anywhere with this accent. He's an American boy who watched one British film.
And he's based his British identity on the bad British accent of a bad American actor in a bad VHS copy of a B movie. So it does make sense and motivate itself. It is a tough acting decision because, like, he got a lot of flack for it. And in interviews, he was defending it. And it's like, well, you know, maybe don't base your character's accent off of information revealed in episode 5. You know, or maybe the writers shouldn't have buried that information in episode 5 if it's the motivation for how your character speaks and sounds. So that is a tough thing. I think Oscar Isaac made, like, a good acting choice that was buried in episode 5 and people made fun of it until they got to that.
I think the choice was bold, and I really appreciate that he did it. Because, like, when the reveal comes of the fact of, like, that we, you know, we find out Steven for sure is the not the core personality, and, like, you really realize where this accent came from. You're like, oh shit, there's like an oh shit moment of why the accent is not very good.
Yeah.
And it's because you're like, Oscar Isaac's a great actor, why is the accent bad? And, like, the fact that there is an explanation is great. I mean, maybe it was hurt slightly because the show was released weekly. If this show was released all at once and we watched all of it in a weekend, everyone would be like, oh my God, it was so brilliant that he did the accent that way for 5 episodes. And then we found out, like, just because we found out week to week, it doesn't mean it wasn't a good choice to me.
That is a really good perspective. And I hadn't even considered the release affecting our perspective on that accent. And I couldn't agree more. That's a fantastic point. I love that.
I love when I was listening to you talk to, because you were doing one of your voice lessons about one of your teachers about RP, and we hadn't gotten to the reveal about, like, why his accent was like that, and hearing you guys just talk about, like, that accent doesn't exist, right? Like, it was so cool to, like,
right,
to
that,
later,
like,
find out, like, he specifically chose an accent that doesn't exist.
There's no Cockney Londoners who say laters gaiters. Like, that's not
yeah.
that's not a British slang. And, like, to do, like, the, like, Cockney glottal stop T's, but, like, it's way up here. It's nasal and it's up in the upper gum ridge and it's very
and you can it's tell very it's supposed to be British
royal English, but it should be, like, lower in the jaw. Like, the way he talks should be down here. But it doesn't make sense where his air placement is. It's very strange. But it all makes sense once it all adds up. Yeah. Yeah. So I think he made a good acting choice that might have buried the lead a little bit. But I think you have a fantastic perspective where we wouldn't be making fun of it if it was all released at once. Maybe there would be a few jokes around the trailer.
Yeah. The trailer, you can, like, it's hard without revealing why it's happening. That's a little hard. But, like, yeah, if it dropped at once, we'd be like, oh, brilliant.
Yeah.
We get why you did that, sir.
Yeah. And also, like, his live switching is really good, too, because even though it's a weird accent that maybe doesn't exist naturally, the fact that it is so high and airy versus, like, the cool Mark Spector to be like, damn it, Steven, we need to, and be like, but I don't want to, Mark. And, like, switching that low to high and live switching as well, like, he does a really good job of flipping those characters in the moment.
Yeah, I don't think he had to do that too much because, like, it was a lot of mirror work where it would be a different day. But near the end of the show, when they're both sharing the body knowingly and willingly, it definitely was a lot more switching. Very impressive stuff.
Yeah.
Now, we do have to get into Jake now, maybe. I have a lot of questions about Jake.
Okay. So for those of you maybe who didn't watch, he has dissociative identity disorder. We spend most of the show with Steven and Mark, and then the big reveal, like the post-credit at the end of the show, is that there is a third personality named Jake.
Yes.
And also there's been a few scenes throughout the series, and I really liked that when it was like, who the fuck did this thing?
Just like enough small things that they were like, that you kind of forget that it happened, that like Mark and Steven were both like, which one of us did that? And like, it wasn't me.
And I think that was a brilliant framing device to start the series with just knowing Steven and how scary it is to lose this time to a killer.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
And then as soon as we grow comfortable with that, reintroducing that horror to the two characters that we've grown comfortable with of like, I had almost forgotten that as a storytelling device. And then losing time and the kind of fear that that causes was a fresh version of a previous horror. And I really liked how they did that towards the end.
Yeah, it was really cool because you're constantly losing time to more violent men. Like, Steven is the nicest, most innocent, most pure one, and he's losing time to Mark. And he's really just waking up, like, sore and tired, and he's, like, lost a few days at work. But Mark's keeping Steven's life in order, because Mark's protective of him. But he's like, we also are, like, getting chased by demons and stuff. But then they're both losing time to a guy who's just stabbing dudes and killing henchmen on rooftops. And like, what's that guy? So, like, and, like, you just expect a fourth guy to show up who's the Joker or something. Just like, I pour people into acid, and you're like, right. We gotta stop waking up with new dudes.
We can't add new dudes anymore. We just can't do it.
They're escalating too much.
But so Jake presents concerns for you though.
Jake,
or questions.
Jake presents questions because this connects into another big thing I have questions about, which is when they go to the duat, I believe.
I believe that's
what it's
called.
The field of reeds, yeah. when they're dead.
The afterlife, if
the
you
afterlife.
Will.
Because I get that he has multiple personalities. But the duat very much is your soul. And it seems like Mark has created a second soul when he made Steven.
Mm-hmm.
So they're like balancing your soul. I'm like, okay, so Mark can just make souls. That seems to be a superpower all on its own. Just a soul machine. Because you both have one and are being judged and balanced. But I'm like, where was Jake in the soul world? Why didn't you get to have to be balanced and figured out? Like, you already existed. You had already lost time to Jake.
And especially when that episode of, like, The Asylum, which is a fantastic
episode.
Good. And we can chat a bit more about that in a moment. But that Asylum episode, it's Steven and Mark find one another in the Asylum. And the Asylum is the boat on the way to the duat, to the afterlife. And they find each other, and they release each other, and they're like, let's work together. And there is a room with a shaking coffin that is presumably Jake, the third one, being held in the asylum.
Oh, wait, wasn't Steven the one in the coffin? Was there a third coffin?
There was a third coffin.
Oh, I don't remember the third coffin.
Mark, or I can't remember who releases who. So
releases Steven.
So Mark finds a coffin and releases Steven. Then when they step out and they're running down the hall, they look into another room and there's another coffin fucking vibrating.
Oh, you're right. Now I recall this. It's a different room. Yes. Yeah. I just kind of took that as like more crazy stuff happening.
And they were just like, let's not mess with that right now. And that presumably is Jake.
Okay. But Jake never got balanced.
But that's the thing. When they get to the balancing of the souls, then they get there and it's like, well, you've got to balance your souls. You've got to be in harmony. And Tarette, the hippo, is like, well, both of you need to admit everything to one another to get the two souls in balance. It's like, why the fuck doesn't the third soul have to?
Yeah, is Jake not going to go anywhere? Are we going to throw him over the boat? What are we going to do with Jake?
Jake just stays on the boat, I guess?
Jake doesn't even get to leave his coffin. I guess maybe it's up to Mark to decide if he wants to balance the personalities as the core, because he had to release Steven.
Maybe.
He could have just left Steven in there.
Interesting.
I guess that is kind of his choice of, like, what do I want to be judged by? And he's like, I don't want to be judged by Jake. Leave that guy in there. But Steven can probably get to the version of heaven in this afterlife. Steven's a real good man.
That is interesting.
Mm, yeah, maybe it was Mark's choice to be judged as both people.
Well, and also, Mark... It seems like Mark doesn't know about Jake.
He doesn't seem to know about Jake.
But he does seem to know about Steven.
Oh, he definitely knew about Steven at all times.
So he had to come to terms with that, but you don't have to come to terms with what you don't know. Mm. And I think that might even be the implication of why they have separate souls or the heart or however it is that they describe it in this spirituality.
Scales.
The scales. But why they have separate ones is that you cannot be held judged for what you don't know. So, of course, Steven would have a separate soul. Like, he doesn't know about Mark. Or, you know, for all intents and purposes, he does not know about Mark. He has made life decisions wholly independent of what Mark has done and should not necessarily be judged for what Mark has done. Mm. But Mark, to be judged, needs to come to terms with creating Steven as a defense mechanism or however you want to analyze that. So I kind of get them having separate ones. It doesn't quite track why Jake gets to stow away.
It doesn't quite track. It also makes your explanation just now was really nice. It kind of makes it less sensible of why his scale balances when Steven falls off the ship, because like they just completely mingled their lives.
Yeah.
But like either way, Either way, I think actually I found a little bit of clarity in this whole situation, and I really enjoyed this discussion of this part.
I'm happy I was able to add some clarity.
No, the third coffin is huge. You're absolutely right. It was there. Yeah. I hadn't been thinking enough about Jake at the time to track that was Jake and not just like another, like, there's hippos and there's...
At some point, the hippos should be like, oh, can we talk about Jake? Like, she should have been...
Like, as they're running back through the doors, she should have been like, well, don't forget Jake!
She's just holding a coffin above her head.
You forgot your friend.
You forgot your friend. She's just yeeting it into the afterlife.
Jake gets yeeted into the field.
Just clean off a boat. All right. Well, let's take a quick break of the podcast to thank our other sponsor of today's episode. We want to thank our wonderful friends over at Quip.
Over at Quip. They're making our oral care routine easy and nice because good health starts with good habits, and Quip makes it easy. They will deliver all your oral care essentials you need to take care of your mouth, and you will feel great about it.
I love Quip. I always have. I've been more in love with them recently because recently I got aligners. I'm getting my teeth straightened out slowly over the course of time using some little plastic teeth that I put on over my teeth. But for any of you who've had aligners, you know that means that I am brushing my teeth more frequently after every like little snack or nibble. I gotta take my little plastic teeth out and then I gotta brush and I'm carrying around like a brush and everything with me. And it's been so much easier with Quip because like I don't have like a big toiletries bag. It's just like it has this perfect little, I'm gonna call it a sheath. It can stick to a mirror. It's a mount as well.
It's a multi-use travel cover, but a sheath is cool.
I'm going to call it a sheath.
And it like looks cool?
It looks cool. It slides right in. It protects the bristles. I like pop it in like a little fanny pack or slide it into my pocket. I can brush my teeth when I'm out and on the go if at any given time when I need to take my little plastic teethies out and put them back in. And then it's also just nice. They got like gentle sonic vibrations that let you know every 30 seconds when it's time to change quadrants, so you're getting an even brush as well.
And then you get your 2 minutes as well, because it's hard to know when you've gotten to the 2 minutes of brushing and you're just gonna, it's gonna time you for it and you're gonna know exactly how long you need to brush those teethies.
Yeah, 30 seconds a quadrant, you get that 2 minute total, and it's like, yeah, baby, these are some clean boys.
And you can also track and improve your brushing with the free Quip app and get rewards for brushing your teeth, a thing you already do, I hope. Andrew, y'all, I know you are.
Everyone needs Quip, but if you're currently at not brushing your teeth at all, just get the Quip. Just do something.
You need hardcore help.
Please, you've got to do it. They also have great additional all of your oral care products, their anti-cavity toothpaste. They've got two different ways to floss, the floss string or the reusable floss pick as well. I like the floss pick when I just need like a quick little hit and like the proper, like the traditional floss. I'm like, that's a before bedtime kind of a routine. But they've got both, and I like that I'm fully kitted out.
The quick hit for when we've had corn on the cob, you know?
Yeah.
You know how you need to go have
a
hit.
Yeah, yeah. You need that floss pick for a post-corn on the cob day. It's an important one to have.
They're stylish and affordable, starting at just $25, and shipping is free.
So if you go to getquip.com/super, right now you'll get your first refill free. That's your first refill free at getquip.com/super. That is spelled GETQUIP.com/super. Quip, the good habits company. Thank you, Quip, for your support.
Thank you, Quip.
And now back to Moon Knight.
We will talk about the Moon Knight. I think we've been very, very kind. We liked the show quite a bit. I will say episode 3, I think, was a low point for me. Episode 3 is the one where they're trying to find Ethan Hawke the whole time.
Uh-huh.
And things got silly in a way that they weren't supposed to be silly. So basically this whole episode, they're like, we need to find Ethan Hawke. And they go to these crazy extremes to keep finding him. They call a Council of Gods meeting. Khonshu realigns the stars. They go to an arms dealer to get some black market sarcophaguses, all to find Ethan Hawke. Ethan Hawke shows up to where they are 3 separate times in the episode.
He is there.
He's constantly found, and Khonshu just constantly is going to greater and greater extremes to find Ethan Hawke. This episode was infuriating.
some of the geographic structure of the plot is maddening.
Yes.
And even in the first two episodes, it's a little less noticeable because it's hidden behind a lot of the style of, like, the mirror work and discovering these personalities and losing time and live switching. But in, like, the first two episodes, it's like, I'm hiding from Mark. Mark's hiding from Layla. Layla's in Egypt. Layla comes to London because Layla's following Mark, and then Mark is following her, and then Steven's following her, but then Mark runs away from her and runs to Egypt, where she just was. So it is all of these characters chasing one another in a circle, and it does not feel like there is a big... It does not feel like there is a driving force or any momentum moving anyone forward. Everyone is just dancing around one another aimlessly. Like, Harrow is chasing Mark while Mark's chasing Harrow.
Yeah.
And that's a straight line where you collide with one another. You can't unless you're doing, like, a madcap farce comedy type of thing.
And sometimes it is, because, like, Mark's trying to get away with the scarab in episode one, but Steven doesn't know what's happening, so just goes up to Ethan Hawke, and he's like, hey, what's going on? And he's like, do you have my scarab? And that's funny. That actually works. In episode one and two, it completely works.
Because I think they realize they're like, this circular logic creates a pure comedy. And then they forget that, and it just becomes circular logic.
I think by episode three, Mark and Steven are so in sync, even though they're still fighting over who controls the body, it kind of ruins the idea of the comedy of it, and it just seems like an idiotic events are happening at this point.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, because, like, I couldn't get over it. They're like, we need to find Ethan Hawke. We're going to call, like, this Council of the Gods. And then, like, the door opens, and Ethan Hawke walks in, and he's there. And then we don't just follow Ethan Hawke when he leaves the Council of the Gods, or be like, we want to go out that door that Ethan Hawke went out of because we're going to stop him. And, like, after he leaves, one of the other gods, I think Hathor's avatar, is like, if you find a sarcophagus and you look at the moon map, you'll be able to find Ethan Hawke. I'm like, you know where Ethan Hawke is. You just opened a door to where Ethan Hawke is.
Just tell him the place where Ethan Hawke is. And even Ethan Hawke coming in, it's like, you just snatched him. And they're like, were you digging up Ahmet's tomb? And he's like, I was just wandering the desert.
And they're like, oh, cool, man.
They're like, and that's literally 100% of his argument is pure ignorance. And they have no follow-up questions or, like, check information.
Like, we need some better lawyers at this trial. Like, oh, you were wandering the desert with glass in your shoes? You were going for a nice little walk in the desert with shoe glass in your feet.
Yeah.
I don't think you were, sir.
With a team of, like, archaeologists and excavators.
And guns and...
You had timber wherever you were. Like, you brought in trucks of timber to make scaffolding. There is a crew involved from wherever they just took you from.
Yeah,
you are a human man who needs a backhoe to unearth large amounts of dirt.
Yeah, those gods were really retired. Like, we talked about how Kanchi was working all the time. Those gods were like, we did a quick check. We knocked on the door. No one answered. It was a real, like, kind of house call check.
Yeah, they were done. Like, during that scene, I was like, I see why you guys are not popping off anymore. Because you are mentally clocked out.
You don't care.
Don't give one shit.
But at all. Then we go to, like, the drug dealer who's got the sarcophagus. Ethan Hawke shows up again!
Which is another one where, like, I couldn't
why
even quite...
Why was he there?
I couldn't quite figure out the purpose of any of it, because it's like, I think it was to create tension between Mark and Layla, because Layla's like, he's my ex and he rides a horse.
I meant, why was Ethan Hawke there? Like, he already had the scarab. He didn't need the sarcophagus.
That also does not make sense. You are correct.
But yes, the arms dealer didn't make any sense.
The personal connection of the arms dealer just didn't go anywhere or make any sense or motivate anything.
Yeah, that episode was a mess.
Yeah, real meandering plot structure of the, like, where is... Yeah, finding out different ways to find where it is. And the thing that's really frustrating about it is that this is well-trodden territory. Every type of adventurer, Tomb Raider type of a movie, like literally probably the VHS movie within the TV show, has done this. Where you're like, whether it's The Mummy, your Tomb Raider, your National Treasure, your Indiana Jones.
Goonies, all classics.
All the Goonies included. It is a very simple structure of we, the heroes, are trying to race the villains to some ancient location. And we have to beat them there because they have more money or resources. And maybe they think they've found it. But they actually did. They're actually digging in the wrong place.
Indiana Jones is 2 feet to the left.
And then we get a head start because they're in the wrong place. But once we've cleared the way, they come in from behind us. It's well-trodden ground. It's not anything revolutionary, but it works for the format. And instead, this show is like the villains get there first and unearth everything. And then the heroes get there and still somehow beat the villains there. Like, Layla and Mark slash Steven get in there, and they're like, let's get to the room before they do. But I'm like, where the fuck are they? How did you...
I actually thought that was okayly figured out, because Steven found... Because Steven, in his cowardice, found a faster way to the tomb room. Because he, like, went up the scaffolding, and he found, like, a backdoor entrance.
Scaffolding they built while checking out that room.
I don't think they built that. There was, like, a bunch of, like, urns and stuff up there. I think that was ancient... stuff.
Ancient scaffolding?
Yeah. I got impression it was ancient scaffolding.
Okay, okay.
But it, like, they were there way earlier, though. Like, I don't know what was taking so long. I guess the because Layla also got there pretty fast, and she went through, like, a broken room where the bridge was cut off, and she didn't use the shortcut.
Yeah.
And she got there also before Ethan Hawke, I believe. Because they had a whole conversation before Mark got shot.
Yes, they did. They had a conversation.
So she also beat Ethan Hawke.
Everyone beat him to that room. I can't figure out what this chase was supposed to be.
Yeah. But there are, even in like the messy stuff, there are some highlights. I will say, as silly as it was to go to such an extreme of like, I'm going to be entombed just so I can change the stars and you can find Ethan Hawke, the scene where the stars are changed was awesome.
Oh, yeah. Visually very good.
Yeah. Where he's like, him, Khonshu and Mark, or Khonshu and Steven, are changing time back to how the stars looked 2,000 years ago. That scene was really, really cool. In the long chase scene, I will say, the like zombie thing that takes your organs out and cans them is horrifying and was so cool. That was like a really surprising horror element in the point where the show had kind of gotten away from the horror because the personalities had coalesced. But that was a really cool idea for a character who freaked me the fuck out, who just wants to take your organs out and put them in jars.
That was upsetting and had been doing it to some randos around, I guess, or?
Well, those were henchmen.
Oh, those were henchmen who didn't pass the, or like who weren't balanced or whatever.
I don't even know if they weren't balanced. I think they were just guarding the tomb. I think there was
so
only...
So Spirit's just taking out randos in the tomb.
I think it was. I got the impression Harrow just brought enough people that this one guy was like, I can only kill you one at a time, so I'm gonna.
And he's just slipping them off, yeah.
Because I'm pretty sure the guy on the table was like a rando we'd met like once before who like had a line and Mark had fought.
Okay, okay.
I'm pretty sure. So yeah.
But then we end that scene with like Mark and Layla get, I air quote, separated. Because Mark's like, Layla, run! And then immediately knocks something on the zombie and everything's safe, but doesn't go after her or yell anything, and they're just separated now.
Mm.
So, yeah, the structure of that, like, I was really frustrated that whole thing.
Yeah,
but I'm with you, the zombie was pretty cool.
The zombie was cool. The structure was bad. I also will say the second half of the zombie, when it's going after Layla, was the most poorly lit thing I've ever seen.
Yeah, yeah.
Because the zombie idea was really cool, and the whole chase scene, in like not a horrifying way, I was just like, I can't see what this is. Did you actually design anything, or is it just a black wall that she's fighting? Like, did you throw a monster in here and actually draw it? I can't tell. Mm-hmm. Very upset about the lighting situation on the chase scene.
It's surprising too that didn't look good considering how great the rest of the show looked. Like we've talked about it a little bit, but the different mirror-based techniques that they did for these Steven conversations were always very interesting, whether it was like reflections within that sarcophagus dome that the ex-boyfriend had, or like the bathroom mirror reflections. The rearview mirror of the car during the chase scene, that was my favorite one, of like them kind of like blacking out and switching off during a whole chase segment. I really like that. But yeah, some of the camera work and lighting and just decisions they made visually in this show is really impressive.
Really, yeah, really cool. I mean, I think my big one was, because in the trailer, it was like Mark or Steven won't give the body back, and Mark's in like the bus mirror and he's like, how you doing? Because Steven's losing his first fight. And like Mark, it's the first time Mark doesn't desperately want the body back.
Right.
So he's just in there. He's like, you gonna let me have the body yet? He's like, no, I'm fine. And it's... It's very well done technologically and performance-wise, very well directed. Yeah, yeah. They do a lot of fun stuff with Mark and Steven once they actually get talking.
Yeah, absolutely. And the best being the Asylum episode.
Like, oh, hands down. That, what an incredible episode.
That's the marquee episode of this series. That is one to the point where, like, if I was talking to a friend who was like, should I watch Moon Knight? I don't really have the time, or I'm not in the mood. I might even say, just watch the Asylum episode, because I'm like, it is Oscar Isaac acting his goddamn ass off. It's visually beautiful. It's a moving story. And it's kind of the crux of who this character is. And I think it gives you everything that you need or want from this series in one episode.
It is a beautiful episode. It is incredibly acted. And when you have to, and when you think about the fact that pretty much every scene Oscar Isaac had to do twice, he's playing both the characters in this emotional story that's being told, and he can't do it at the same time. So you have to shoot one half of this emotional scene, go change costumes into a different color of shirt, and do the other half alone to a stunt to a body double for you. That's so hard. Like, you're having like crying scenes. You're revealing that, you know, your mother died and beat you, and you created this man to protect yourself and to have your brother be alive in some way inside of you. And that's, it's terribly gut punch great. And the idea that he would just have to do it several times as all the characters.
Yeah.
Oh my God. What an emotionally exhausting experience.
I can only imagine how that would take it out of you, because
no wonder
really
they didn't open Jake's coffin. Like, three of you?
That's too much acting for Oscar Isaac to handle. You just can't do that in that scenario. And a really tragic story, and even like the kid version of him does a really good job of it as well.
Kid version. Oh my God. Yeah, when the mom wouldn't come down for the birthday party.
Yeah.
Oh my God.
And even like I really like Ethan Hawke as Harrow for the most part. His apparently terrible Mandarin aside, which the internet ripped him apart for, which I saw some different video essays and stuff of people breaking it down, be like, it's damn gibberish. But aside from that, I think Ethan Hawke does a great performance. And I actually think that the psychologist version of him, which while imaginary, I suppose, is the most intimidating portrayal of the character that he has chosen. Like, I think that is way more sinister and ominous than the judgmental murderer real life version that he is portraying.
Yeah, I will say I think Ethan Hawke also did a great job. Like, very like interesting, a very like calm, collected, kind of intimidating, just very sure of himself. I really liked it, but I agree, because the psychiatrist. Because this whole insane asylum in your head thing, it's like a thing we've seen before. You know, you try to convince a character that their crazy reality isn't real. Like, Buffy has a very famous episode of it, Batman, the animated series. You're trying to get them to give up the life so that you can win and defeat them. This was one of the only times where I was like, shit, maybe that guy's right. Like, just some of the dialogue he gave him of like, Mark, is this sense or nonsense? And Mark just has to be like, nonsense, you're right. And like, actually starts to convince him and even I was kind of like, would make more sense if he was just in a mental institution.
Yeah.
Yeah, it was haunting. Very, very cool. And like the subtle things they did, like, I mean, when you get to the mental institution, everything there is a reference to something we've seen in the real world.
Sure.
But even Harrow's psychiatrist office is his lair.
Yeah. Yeah.
But like a room in the lair we did not spend much time in. So a very subtle way of being like, that room in the lair is the office.
It does, it like, yeah, there's so many different layers.
There's so many
to this,
layers to the episode 5.
And I think the other brilliant thing about episode 5 is for a show that deals with dissociative identity disorder, with DID, and something that is a very sensitive topic and something that has not been portrayed well in a lot of other media. It is very much a easy solution, or a much taken advantage of actual disorder for the sake of random character development that is catnip for actors. Mm. You know, your splits of the world where it's like, I understand this is catnip to theater kids, that this is,
I get to play all the people.
What if all of the roles in the play were played by me? And someone has to be like, actually, this is a sincere psychological condition that we should not necessarily make light of. But from everything that from most of the things that I've seen online, they've actually done a fairly representative and accurate yet sensitive portrayal of it, as much as you could do so in a TV show where there is a moon god that possesses you to get revenge and do murders. But within the context of the fantastical world of a spiritual superhero TV show, that it's actually a pretty sensitive, accurate, and good representation of this psychological disorder.
Yeah, I haven't read a whole lot, but the few things I read said they got it pretty close. You can't, sometimes you don't share the time, mm-hmm. you've lost time. One thing I saw get criticized was like they really liked that Mark and Steven shared no traits together, because you're kind of supposed to have your own like specialties. Like Mark is the muscle, Steven knows hieroglyphics, but Mark doesn't. You can't really tap into that. You are two different people. Later, apparently Steven like can fight just because Mark can. And like, that's not quite how it would work. But I kind of get the idea that the muscle memory would be there.
Well, I actually got the impression that he could fight just because he was confident to do so and had a magic outfit.
In the duet is when he kind of starts to fight, though.
Okay.
But I think it's a very small moment. And also, I didn't even find he fought particularly well in that scene.
He just kind of loose through his weight at a man.
Yeah. Very, very nice that they like took the time to be like, we're going to study it maybe. We're going to be very, very
respectful. They're not going to use it as a cheap plot device or take advantage of it. They're going to try to do it in a way that represents this issue in these people, mm-hmm. right? Which is something that was a very sensitive and difficult thing to do, especially when going into the making of this. I think a lot of people were like, maybe you need to rewrite and change this character, because it has been hit or miss in the past whether or not it is disrespectful. But I think they did a good job.
Well, and also it's interesting because there is a real out that you don't have to do it this way until the Lemire run or the run before that. He did not have DID.
Okay.
He was a man who just had different identities that he used for crime-fighting purposes. Like the way that Bruce Wayne would be matches Malone to, like, go undercover.
Right.
All of his identities, he always knew he was Mark Spector, but he would just, like, change his outfits knowingly.
Gotcha.
And he would be like, and now I'm Stephen Grant, and I know a lot of, and I'm a late, and I know, and I'm richer, and now I'm Jake Lockley, and I work in a gang. But, like, he always knew he was Mark Spector. He did not have DID. So, like, they really could have just been like, this is old school Moon Knight, not the current run of comics.
Interesting.
So they made a bold choice by being like, this could end up poorly.
Yeah. Huh? Well, they did it. They landed on their feet on that one.
I think they did a good job.
Yeah, and the Asylum episode is the best one. And how did you feel about Layla?
I was kind of hit or miss on Layla.
I
think the problem was... Not with the performance in any way.
I think May Cullum-Wye.
I think she did a good job. I think there was such a disconnect of most of her time was spent with Steven, but she has a relationship with Mark, and we just never fully fleshed out the relationship with Mark, I felt like.
Right.
So, like, by the time we get to the end, and also at the end, we don't know where anyone stands with Layla. She's just kind of gone.
Yeah, she does like, kind of do her own thing, which I like. Like, I like her as a superhero.
I love that costume.
It's incredible.
A superhero.
I think she gives a good performance this whole show, but I am with you. We don't quite know where it lays with Mark/Steven.
Yeah, because she's laying out all this, like, baggage of, like, my father was killed or whatever, but, like, we never actually see the flashback of the dad dying. We're just kind of told about it.
Yeah, we don't get a real resolution to that or a forgiveness.
Yeah, like, I believe Mark when he says he's not the one who killed him, but, like, what was the full scene? Like, how much do we forgive Mark for what happened here?
Right.
What's going on? Like, we never actually see any flashbacks of them meeting or dating. So, like, it just never felt fully fleshed out. It felt like the writers thought we got it all, but, like, I never connected with what was going on with Layla in any way. It was very, because it's from Steven's perspective, and then it's Mark's, and then, like, Steven kisses her, and Mark punches himself in the face, and that was very funny.
Yeah.
I actually think I liked her the best when Mark was dead, and she was off on her own, just being like, gonna go be Towerette's avatar. I'm gonna say no to Khonshu, which was badass. She was
badass
like,
move.
You're the worst boss of all time. I've seen what you've done to Mark. You just go help some other way. So, yeah, she was very powerful and cool. Yeah, when she was Scarlet Scarab is her superhero name.
Yeah.
And very cool costume, very cool. Love that she just immediately knew how to use it, just like blocking bullets and kicking ass.
Yeah, very very Falcon choreography of like the way that she kind of like wire work would fly in and do it. It feels like it might have been the same choreographer, which is fine and fair. I think there's probably only so many ways you can choreograph a person with little back wings that kind of pop out
with
and fly
little bulletproof
at you.
Wings. Yeah,
yeah. The one thing I didn't quite get was when she becomes the specter for Tawaret, the hippo who's guiding you to the afterlife.
Who's so lovely and fun. And just loves Layla.
Phenomenally fun.
She loves Layla.
Love this energy.
Layla,
we're doing it.
So great. I'd work for her.
The only thing I felt like a wild decision was that when Tawaret was using Layla as the specter, that she was talking with the hippo voice coming out of like the live actor. And it's like, that's not how anyone else's avatar worked. So it was kind of a fun comedy scene, but I'm like, this isn't how avatars have worked in any of the other scenes that I've seen. I don't know why that took me out of it.
I think it did, because in like the temple scene when we meet all the other gods, when they inhabit their avatars, we hear their voices.
Do we hear their natural voice?
Yeah. I think Khonshu is kind of the only one who's like, it's too crowded in Mark's body. I can't speak through him.
All right.
Jake Lockley's in there. Steven's in there. Mark's, I can't speak through this man.
Right.
So I feel like the other avatars do speak through their avatars.
All right. Well, then you know what?
To
withdrawn.
Me, that's the whole point of an avatar.
Withdrawn.
Is your voice
it does
on Earth.
It does seem right, doesn't it? Yeah. So you know what? Withdrawn. But yeah, I really like Tawaret and Layla could have used more development, but I think the performance was really good and the costume kicked ass and was ready to go at the end.
Yeah, I do hope she like kept working for Tawaret because she said temporary, but I'm like, I hope you enjoyed this working arrangement and you signed a permanent contract because you seem like a badass superhero.
Yeah, it would be very nice. And then we just end with the reveal of Jake.
We
knew that there was a third, so it's not a big reveal.
I really didn't care for this ending. It feels very unresolved. Like, Mark and Steven just wake up in their bed, and I'm like, well, what, like, are you still Moon Knight? Are you, like, just going to work Steven's job as your life now? Like, I just do not know. I don't feel like I've had anything resolved. Like, are you going to stay with Layla? Is Layla going to date both or one of you? Very hard to date when you both constantly have the body.
Yeah.
Unless you are going to date both men. Because, like, you can't, like have sex with someone when the other guy's still there.
Yeah, I mean, like, you would need to have a
real talk about
you would need
boundaries.
To have a poly relationship with the DID personalities.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah, so that's a very specific scenario that they're in.
Mm-hmm. So, yeah, it felt very unresolved. And, yeah, Jake just, like, showing up and killing.
And it was like, oh, okay, I guess.
Yes, we already knew he was there.
Sure, and, like, why did you try to make another deal with Mark and Steven in that final scene when you needed a body to not die and save the world when you just had Jake in there the whole time?
I mean, I guess you want all three because Jake doesn't have the body all the time. So if you can get all three personalities.
But in that final desperate moment of like, I'm about to be put in a statue. This alligator's about to eat me. I fucking need somebody. You're like, hey, Jakey boy. Jake.
Wake up, Jake.
Come on, buddy.
Wakey, Jakey. Laters, gators. Oh, we didn't say laters, gators when the alligator died.
What a fucking missed opportunity.
You guys!
You simple bitches.
How did... He didn't, right?
I don't believe he did. I don't believe he did say latest gators.
That's got to be the end line to when the gator dies.
It should be.
Guys.
Come on.
You know what? F. This show's now a failure.
This show's downgraded to an F.
I'm sorry. It was an A-, and it has dropped it just, off the mat.
It doesn't work. It just doesn't work as a show.
It's the only reason to lay in the fact that he says laters, gators all the time.
Is to later kill an alligator and say laters, gators.
And it's, oh, the circularness.
It was right there.
God.
It was right there.
Oh, well, I know what my change is. What would you change section?
Speaking of which, let's do we have any final thoughts?
I do have one more final silly thought that I wanted to share with you. And it's about a thing I just think about all the time, which is at the beginning of the it makes me
all
laugh.
All the time.
Yeah, since the show's aired. It's I've been thinking about it. Because in episode one, it's basically all precedented on the fact that that date was set up with the museum tour guide by, sure. I assume, Mark and not Jake. I assume Mark. I think because Jake wouldn't do Steven's job for him. But Mark, like, loves Steven, wants to protect him, wants to make sure he keeps his job. So I just love this fact that, like, whenever Mark was controlling the body and had the day off from Conchi work, he did Steven's job for him. Mm. He would go to the museum. He would check in. He would talk to Mean Boss Lady and do this bad fake accent. Mark would have to constantly pretend to be Steven.
Ooh, you think that's what was up?
Yeah. How else did he, like, not miss any work? Like, he was never in trouble for missing work, even though he would miss days of time. The girls, like, was like, you flirted with me yesterday and we set up a date. So, like, Mark obviously went to that job and did it.
Hmm. That's interesting.
So, like, you already have DID and you're showing up and then pretending to be your other personality constantly to protect him? Because Mark is very aware Steven exists.
Right, right. Huh. Yeah, you're kind of freaking me out here. I hadn't really thought about what was going on there.
And, like, he went to a fish store and he got a new fish. I don't know if the fish died because he didn't feed it because he held the body for too many days or if there was a
fight.
They
never really explained the fish thing.
Yeah, I didn't know if there was a fight in the apartment and the fish maybe died or right. if he, like, just had the body for, like, 5 days and didn't feed the fish.
Yeah, I think he might have had the body for too long. Because I feel like Mark's not... Because if Mark gave a shit, he would have, like, got an automatic feeder by now. You know what I mean? Like... I don't think Mark was doing his job.
I think Mark was doing his job.
I think Mark might have
You think
have called,
Jake was doing his job?
I don't think anyone was doing his job. I didn't ever got the implication that people were doing his job.
Well, who made the date with the museum
I think
director?
It's like Mark as like Steven's leaving work and then like blacks out is home and is like, I don't remember getting home. Mm. But like, you know, Mark on the way out was like, I'm going to ask this lady out real quick.
He still did a few hours of work then. He definitely didn't just shift as the shift ended.
I mean, that seems like something you'd do if you didn't care about doing that job that day, you know?
But if it's been days, like he thought it was Friday and it was Sunday. So he like, he's missed days and days of time.
Mark might have called in sick to work maybe.
I mean, his boss is a bitch. He would have bitched him out about that.
I mean, she was constantly bitching him out about not showing up for work. And being late.
Maybe being late, but like he didn't like miss entire days.
Ooh. Yeah, this is a tough one.
I stand by this.
You stand by
I stand by because Mark is so protective of Steven.
Yeah.
It's basically a reiteration of his little brother, like who he created. So I feel like he would be like, oh, I can't let Steven lose his job. I gotta go do some museum shit today, I guess.
But in that scenario, why not just give back the body to Steven to let him go do his job?
Well, Steven's starting to keep control and he needs to be able to fight demons. If a demon shows up and Steven's got the body again, they're going to die.
Okay. I see what you're saying. Huh. All right. Maybe.
Yeah, he seems to not be able to take it from Steven as often as he wants. So I feel like he's holding on to it longer when he can at this point. So okay. I stay by this. Mark worked the job and put on the accent. And he put on the accent.
Now that is an acting challenge for Oscar Isaac.
To
pretend to be the American Mark Spector, pretending to be his other identity, Steven Grant, which is an American boy based on his American brother who based an accent based on an American actor playing a British character in a B-movie. That's more layers than Inception.
It's more layers. I think the funniest way to do that would be if Mark's version of Steven was a really good British accent.
Oh, shit.
Like an on-point, perfect British accent.
I love it.
And everyone's like, oh, you sound great today, Steven.
Love this. A perfect British accent. Yeah, I'm
just
on board
just for Oscar
with.
Isaac to be able to be like, I can do it, guys.
Yeah.
Okay, the Steven one that's was season, a choice.
That's season two.
Season two.
That's how we do. That's how we start season two. It's just him doing a perfect British accent while saying I'm Mark Spector over and over again.
Yeah.
Woo.
We did it.
All right, well, let's go in for the close. Let's ask the final question of what would you change? So now that we've discussed everything we discussed, what would you change about the show if you could change anything? Before we do ask the final question, we will remind you, as we do every week, to please support the show in any way that you can. There are free ways. There are money ways. If you're listening right now, you probably like us. And this
we like us.
And we like us.
We think we're nice.
We think we're doing our best, that's for sure.
Perhaps we're nice.
And this is our full-time job, and we need your help making sure that it stays that way by supporting this podcast in the free way of leaving a rating, a review, and subscribe on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Podcast Addict, wherever you're listening to this right now. All you do, open it up, give us 5 stars, leave a review. It can be one word. You can say noice. You can call us a plate of soup. It's been a minute since we brought plate of soup back. It's always a classic.
You can go with what we currently have, which is relevant, hip, and happening, guys.
You can do
it's three words, but I believe in you.
It's 3 words. You can do 1 word. You can do 3 words. You can do more if you want us to read what you have to say about us, because we do check them, and it warms our hearts when nice reviews are left. That helps us move up the charts, find new listeners. New listeners, when they discover the podcast, often do check reviews, and that will affect whether or not they actually give this podcast a try and then become new regular listeners. So, and then the cycle continues. While you're doing it as well, since it's a free thing to do, and while you are on the review side of whatever podcatcher you're using, leave it for a couple of the other podcasts that you like and listen to, because this is important to every podcaster out there. I know you hear it on every show you listen to. There's a reason for that, and because it's free, it's easy, and it means a lot to all of us.
It means so much. If you send out like 3 reviews, like you will make 3 podcasters' days. We'll all get a little email, and we'll be like, "Ooh, new review, 5 stars. People like us." And then you get a little jolt, and you're like, "Yeah, let's do more good podcasts." You get a good little boost,
a little hit. It means a lot. So do that if you can. Free way to support the podcast. If you want to support the podcast monetarily, if you've got a little bit of extra money in the budget, you can support us over on Patreon, which is a monthly subscription service where you subscribe at whatever level you can afford, and you get different cool bonuses for doing so. So at the $10 hero level, for example, it's $10 a month, or you can do yearly, in which case you get a free month. But also, if you do monthly, you can change or cancel at any time. There's no obligations. But at the hero level, you get a bonus episode of this podcast every single month. This month, over on our Patreon page, it should be up shortly, if not already, at the time of recording this. But Our Flag Means Death is what we're covering over on our Patreon. Little Taika Waititi. It is going to be a fun time.
Oh, we love a little Taika in this house. And you also get access to all the old episodes when you sign up at the $10 level. There's some great stuff in there. Previous months, we've done all the Twilights.
We did all the Twilights.
I think we did 2 public and 3 Patreon, if I recall.
I believe that is true.
So if you need the entire
Twilight.
That
last month or the month prior?
That was last month.
That was last month.
That was so much Twilight.
That was so much Twilight last month.
It's a trip, though.
Yeah, it's wild. But there is like 60-plus episodes, a lot of content. And if you really only want to do it for 1 month and just check out some of the bonus content that you've missed over the years and just a few episodes that you would like to check out, do that. Do 1 month and cancel. We don't care. Do what is in your budget. Take care of yourself first. And if you got a little for us, it means the world to us. And even if it's not to get the bonus episode of the podcast, even at the $1 level, if you just want to support us, those add up and are super cool too. So check it out. There's lots of different things you can do over at patreon.com/fromsuperheroes. That's patreon.com/fromsuperheroes. And now, let's go in for the close. Let's ask the final question of what would you change? Diana, what would you change?
My change, perhaps controversial, I'm not sure. I would actually have more Mark in this show, because Steven is kind of introduced as the lead, and then because he gets like he's trying to figure out what's going on, and it's not until episode like 3 or so that Mark kind of equally shares screen time, and then in episode 5 is the great episode where they're definitely equally shared, and we go into Mark's backstory, which is as much Steven's backstory, but we never really get like a full day of Mark, and I don't really, and as the character who kind of becomes the main character really a little bit over Steven, I just didn't feel like we really got a perspective on him. Like, we never saw any scenes of him and Layla in the past. Like, how did they meet? When did they get married? Like, what is this whole story? Like, because you met her after you became Moon Knight and you did a marriage? Like, that is complicated. This isn't a woman you knew before you killed her dad.
So you, like, killed her dad and then decided to marry her. Yeah.
Without telling her, you, or like, were there when her dad died. You didn't kill him, but like, pretty
let's be
close
real.
To.
You were part of the hit squad sent to kill him.
You would go to jail for it.
Yes. Any jail would call you an accomplice of that murder. Yeah, or so, any prison system or court.
So, yeah, there's just so much about Mark we don't get to see. Also, like, did he go and work Steven's job some days? So as much as we got a few episodes of just Steven's perspective, I would love an episode or two of just Mark's perspective, kind of without Steven there. Like, what is Mark without Steven? Because we know what Steven's like without Mark. So I feel like that would, like, kind of round the show out a bit more. It would round Layla out more. She would feel maybe more integral, more integrated into the story. So yeah, I just want to, I want a few, even scenes, not even full episodes, maybe, of like just Mark, kind of the way episode 5 is like the only time he felt fleshed out. Like, we get his whole backstory, but I would like to know Mark, like, as Moon Knight, as with Layla, more things about him. So I'm just gonna add a little bit more Mark to my Moon Knight.
Okay.
And I'd like to see what he does on his days off.
Of course
when
you
he's
would.
Just marking around.
You would. You would.
Give me the Mark's Day Off episode.
I'm on board with that. I like that. I like switching it up. I think, yeah, episode 3 maybe instead of the, like, the chase for a map, I think that would have been a good time for a Mark episode. Mm-hmm. And you're right. It would add a lot of depth and interest to the character, because I think by the end of the show, I was more interested in Layla and Steven's relationship, because we got to see that
more time together.
And we got to see that happen from day one of them developing a relationship, whereas Mark and Layla, we were told. Whereas Steven with Layla, we saw.
You get it.
So yeah, if we saw a little bit more Mark, I can fully get on board with this.
Excellent, Andrew. Glad you like that. What would your change be?
I want to fuck with the audience's head a little bit more.
More
by playing with the asylum stuff.
Okay.
Because we get one final asylum scene in this show, which doesn't quite make sense. Mm-hmm. Where, like, the asylum was pretty much on the boat going into the afterlife in order to deal with all of the things. And then there was some, like, cutting back and forth there, and Harrow just kind of, like, represented someone who was forcing him to confront what he has done in his life. But then at the end of the show, we get, like, Harrow with bleeding feet as the psychologist. But
when
why?
When we've left the Duat. Yeah.
Yeah.
When we're fully alive and back out. And, like, Steven and Mark are like, yeah, we were right. We are Moon Knight. And I'm like, why were you still mentally in the mental institution? What does this still represent?
Yeah. Is this in your head? Is this in Mark and Steven's head, something you're imagining as a coping mechanism? Is this something we only the audience sees and it's a metaphor? Is this in Harrow's mind? Because at that point, Harrow is actually physically in a mental asylum.
Oh.
And I'm like, is that in Harrow's mind?
Oh, that's interesting.
Which is a possibility. But what my change would be, I want some extra cuts of the asylum to leave the audience uncertain as to whether or not this has happened.
Ah, classic.
I think that is a classic, and I think that that always works. I think it would be very interesting to start this series, like episode 1, with Harrow as the psychologist dealing with Steven, and then Steven's late for work, and Steven's tying himself to his bed, because it's no secret at the beginning of the show
that Steven
is dealing with something. Mm-hmm. He's chaining himself to his bed. He's got sand surrounding his bed. He's late for work. He's clearly dealing with issues. Why not have him getting help from a psychologist who has that ominous, sinister feeling to him, then go through the experience of discovering Mark? Then maybe we intercut in each episode a little of one, maybe two scenes of Mark or Steven dealing with the psychologist. Mm-hmm. And then we can end the series on that as well. And it just adds a little bit of, like, wait, what the fuck?
What just happened?
Yeah, and I kind of like that little bit of dreamlike quality to Moon Knight comics, and I would have kind of liked it to the show as well.
I like that. I think that can be very fun. I think I like that for several reasons. I like a through line mechanism.
Yeah.
Something to kind of draw every episode together. I like the idea that it could explain why Moon Knight will never show up in the MCU anywhere if he never shows up again. Like, it's like, why is that guy never in the Avengers or helping out? It's like, well, he was a fictitious,
yeah,
fictional
it
thing.
It may not have actually
It may not
occurred.
Have happened. It's yeah. just a fun story we told. That's why no other heroes showed up in this story. Mm-hmm. This is a completely on its own superhero property.
Yeah. With one reference by the hippo to the ancestral plane.
To the ancestral plane for Black Panther. I loved that throwaway line, actually, of
that
explaining
was really
why
good.
There are different afterlives.
Yeah.
Thought that was a great throwaway line. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think that's fun. I think it works. Yeah. Sometimes I don't like that ambiguousness, but sometimes it can really work. So it all depends.
I think it could work with this character.
I feel like it could work in like a Legion-esque way of making it a little bit more trippy.
Yeah, I would like it a little bit more trippy. I think that, like, you know, obviously, very obviously, all at the end of these episodes are what would you change is very hypothetical. But in order to explore or enact my idea of what would you change, I would obviously also have to like consult and make sure that it would still be respectful or tasteful towards the DID and the DID community. But my initial premise is like having a little bit more of an uncertainty kind of dream-like ethereal quality to this.
I can get behind that. Mm. That's fun.
Yeah.
That's fun.
I think we're pretty fun.
I think we're fun. I think Moon Knight was mostly fun. Episode 3, rest of it, pretty good.
Yeah, you're not wrong. Well, I think that's going to do it for this week's episode on Moon Knight. We are going to be back next week talking about the new Star Trek series, Star Trek Strange New Worlds.
Star Trek, it's been a minute.
Yeah,
we've done a trek.
It's been a minute since we've been trekking. So we're going to be back talking about that next week. In the meantime, if you want to reach us, you can find me online at Ivamey, Ivimey.
You can reach me at Words of Diana.
And you can reach both of us at From Superheroes. And we'll talk to y'all next week.
Bye.